Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. A Monday
warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean stride. It's Tuesday morning. You know what that means on Ben and Woods. At least you know what it's mean for the past month or so. The Incorporator is back this morning. Padres play-by-play broadcaster Jesse Agler is going to join us at 7:35 from New York City, where today I will be in charge of giving him the word that he needs to seamlessly incorporate into today's Padres broadcast.
You got some ideas?
I have many ideas, but I have not made a final decision yet.
Okay, we can run through them at the break.
Yeah, we will continue to just...
It's
Jesse's
hard.
Been so good.
He's so
at
good,
it.
Man.
Every time I come up with one, I always think, no, he'll nail that one too quickly.
Yeah, we always do that in here. Hey, what about this? Well, no, that's easy. I mean, somebody said the other day, Vaseline. I'm like, it's baseball. All he'd have to do is say, oh, that ball moved like he had Vaseline on it. I mean, it's easy. Like, it's with Jesse, too. I mean, I gave him troglodyte last week, and it was no problem. He's like, ooh. Yeah, it's no problem. I can get it. Troglodyte. Seamlessly weaves it into a baseball broadcast.
Very, very sharp fellow.
Very sharp fellow.
And you know what? Good road trip, too. You get a day off in New York City. We'll see what Jesse did. I saw him tweeting from a crowded subway yesterday.
Yes.
So we'll get caught up with Jesse Agler, the Padres on the road in New York. That's coming up in our next hour at 7:35. Wallace Matthews, one of our regulars from New York, we'll talk Mets baseball in our 8 o'clock hour at 8:05. And looking forward at 8:35 today, Jared Dudley, who has spent a long career, San Diego guy, spent a very long NBA career, has bounced around for a number of teams, but usually relied on as a steady veteran presence, can do a number of things well, signed with the Lakers a few weeks ago, and is going to join us to talk about all the craziness that has gone on in the NBA offseason and how he's looking forward to playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis this year.
Yeah, he's got to be excited,
team,
man.
That has legitimate championship hopes, like a lot of teams in the NBA right now. It'll be good to catch up with Jared Dudley from Horizon High when that was still a thing here in San Diego. He's going to be with us at 8:35. So that's guest-wise what we've got. I got our regular features, including Don't Do This. I'll play some Real or Fake coming up later this hour. But I wanted to start just because I feel like you know what? There's a lot of problems in sports that are not easy to fix. And I understand. I know fans sometimes will say, hey, just get it done, you know? Fix it, man. And if you're a GM or an owner, it's not that easy. You know what? There's a lot of things that we got to study that go into whatever problem it is, like paying college football players. Sounds like an easy
problem.
Sounds
so simple.
Just pay them, right? Well,
right.
It's not quite that simple. I mean, maybe it's not as hard as the schools will make it seem, but at the same time, okay, well, you pay football players, then what are you paying to the women's volleyball players and the crew rowers? And how is that fair? And how do you make that equitable? And do you pay them now? Do you pay them at the end of their college career? There's a lot of complicated moving pieces. When it comes to the issue of fans getting injured by foul balls, to me, I just don't think it's that hard. And we saw it again on Sunday in Cleveland. The Indians, it was Francisco Lindor at the plate, left-handed hitter, inside pitch, turns on it too early, rockets a line drive about, past the dugout, but about, 20 rows up, and unfortunately strikes a 3-year-old child in the stands. That child has to go to the hospital. Apparently he's doing okay, but Francisco Lindor obviously was upset. You could see his reaction at the plate, Woods, that... You know, he just kind of shakes his head and looks over again, calls timeout, kind of up and down. He's bothered by it, and players shouldn't have to have that on their conscience.
Right.
It's not their fault.
No, it's not.
You know, balls are going to get fouled into the stands. It's nothing you can do about it, and he's feeling bad about it. So after that game, Francisco Lindor joined the growing chorus of players, fans, media, in calling for extended netting throughout Major League Baseball.
I encourage every MLB team to put the nets all the way down. I know the fans, it's all about the fans' experience of interacting with players, and I completely get that. You know, you want to have that interaction with the fans, getting autographs and stuff. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure everybody comes out of this game healthy, and we got to do something about it.
So he brought up the one biggest counter argument. Now, there's some fans who say, hey, I don't want to sit behind netting. But that argument doesn't ever hold a lot of water for me, because the most expensive seats in the house
are behind netting,
right? Yeah. Behind home plate, right next to the dugouts. You'll see the owners of the team sitting behind the netting right there.
Yeah.
Best seats in the house are behind the netting. Petco Park, the seats where you get the food, right behind home plate. You're right close to the action. You're behind nets. So I never quite understood the fact that, well, I'm paying all this money, I don't want to sit behind a net. Well, the people to the right of you who are paying even more are sitting behind a net. That one argument is that, yeah, before the game, you know, if you want to go up and get an autograph and there's a net in the way, you can't necessarily get a baseball
in. So you can, we have retractable roofs on stadiums. You can have retractable nets. You can have, I'm pretty sure we can figure out some sort of siding wire where the nets are extended and locked in
right
before a game. Before first pitch, after the national anthem, have the grounds crew each grab a side and run down the field, lock it in, you're good to go.
It's like a movie curtain opening.
That's exactly right.
Before the show.
I'm pretty sure we can figure that one out.
It just feels like a solvable problem. Now, the Chicago White Sox yesterday became the first team just to go all in and extend their nets at U.S. Cellular, what's it called now?
I don't know.
It was U.S. Cellular.
Old Comiskey.
New Comiskey. Whatever it's called now, the sponsor, all the way to the foul pole to foul pole.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting in foul territory, you are behind a net. And it's just, hey, we're going to be safe. We're going to make sure that none of our fans get injured by screaming line drives down the third or first base line. And I applaud the Chicago White Sox for being the first to take that step. I sincerely hope that the rest of Major League Baseball follows this offseason. The Padres extended their nets last year before the start of the season. They had an incident where a bat flying into the stands, remember, hit a woman in the head.
Yep.
And she had the bandage
blood
around
and the whole
and
bit.
Had to go off the field. So they extended their nets last year, but not all the way. There's still room for a longer foul ball line drive.
I've seen some scream, like Hunter Renfro will hit some screamers, and Franmil Reyes. And again, guys, I mean, I've got an 18-month-old. If I take him to a game and I'm sitting in those seats, it's my son grabs my phone, drops my phone on the ground. I go down to pick up my phone. My son wears one in the face.
And even if you, I know people, well, pay attention while you're out there, you're sitting there. Sure, you should always be paying attention, but let's be honest, no one can pay attention for 3.5 hours. Every single second during a baseball game. And even if you are, I mean, I'm not a world-class athlete. These balls are coming in fast.
Last night I was watching the Yankees-Twins game, and Aaron Judge hit a ball 116 miles an hour. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good. I hope your reaction time, you've been practicing.
Yeah.
Because
you're like Grant Fuhr over there, the former goalie, like stopping a ball that's going that fast.
Got to get out of the way. And protect your two kids right next to you.
With no gear on.
No glove because you're not,
a dork, yeah.
at the game.
I'll say it.
Financially, yes, there's a cost to that. But in terms of, how much can it cost to put in the nets? Like half of the salary of one minimum player for the year or something like that? I mean, we're not talking about $100 million. We're talking about a small investment to prevent any more of these incidents happening at major league ballparks. And it's not like there's one every 4 years. We're now seeing one. It feels like every three weeks or so.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's getting hurt, getting sent to the hospital. It can come to an end. It has to come to an end. Put the nets in all the way, foul pole to foul pole, get it done. They've been doing it in Japan, in the Japan leagues forever. They've had nets up there. It's not that difficult. So my mini rant this morning.
There you go. Soapbox it.
Just wanted to throw it out there because I don't need to. I don't need to go through this again. We don't need to be talking in another year or two about another kid who was hit or injured or even worse at a baseball game because they didn't have enough protective netting that could have prevented an injury like that.
I couldn't agree more, man. I really could not agree more. It's an easy fix. It's an opportunity to do the right thing. So
you almost feel like, what's it going to take?
Is it
going to take a kid dying
yeah.
for people to finally be like, oh, I can go somewhere else for my autographs.
We're heading that direction.
We really are, man. Guys are hitting the ball really, really hard. And again, I don't buy the pay attention bit at all. Not one bit. It just doesn't happen. Not these days.
All right. We will jump into two giant NFL stars who changed their teams, but still having a little trouble adjusting, maybe, to their new surroundings.
Yeah, we got audio on both of these, don't we, Paul?
We got audio on Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell's audio, if you haven't heard this, it's unbelievable. I cannot wait to play.
And OBJ is still hung up on his old team, the New York Giants, as he gets ready to start training camp with his new team, the Cleveland Browns. We'll get into all of that coming up next on Ben and Woods. As a group, we sports fans can be maybe some of the most unreasonable people on the planet Earth.
Big time.
Is that fair to say?
Very.
Ben and Woods here with you on 97.3 The Fan. It is time for training camps to get started. I actually went through, Woods. I had to review new teams for new players. I had forgotten. I mean, there were so many moves this offseason. I had forgotten half of them. Well, Joe Flacco's the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
I know.
I got a review sort of thing. Oh, yeah, Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, a Jag.
He's now a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Ryan Tannehill to the Titans. I skipped that.
I just keep looking at the Chiefs turned over their entire defense. The Raiders were incredibly busy. I mean, Antonio Brown. Tyrell Williams, the former Chargers receiver, LaMarcus Joyner.
Hey, you left
Trent
off
Brown.
Richie Incognito.
Oh, I did,
An addition to the Raiders.
Vontaze Burfict with Richie Incognito and Antonio Brown.
Incredible.
They're going full Raiders this year. I can respect that.
Well, and they'll be on Hard Knocks, and we will be religiously watching.
Of course.
August 6th, by the way.
So, we had to review what players are on which teams, and a couple of big names that changed teams this offseason. Odell Beckham Jr. got traded, of course, from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns. And Le'Veon Bell, after his holdout last year, signed his free agent deal with the New York Jets. Got about $13 million a year, $52 million over 4 years to run the ball for the Jets, who also added a few other players this offseason. They got C.J. Mosley, formerly of the Ravens, wide receiver Jamison Crowder. I mean, I don't think the Jets are a Super Bowl contender, but they're a little more interesting, especially with Le'Veon Bell.
They're much improved.
All right, so Le'Veon Bell is bristling a little bit. Maybe it's the new, the New York just attention that you get when you go to the Jets. But what is he? Is he hearing from fans? What are they complaining? How did this all get started? Do we have any idea?
So it's the usual, right? The Trinity. It's the media. It's the fans, and then it's social media. And it's all coming together to create an epic, epic freakout.
Hey, real shit, bro. I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody coming out. You're not focused. You only want to make music. He want to play basketball. He do everything besides play football. And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Everybody talking, man. I know y'all got a favorite person, a favorite athlete. Your mom, your dad, whoever y'all do. So if somebody work at Target, do you think when they work from day 9 to 5, they go home and all they doing is worry about putting on the shelves? They trying to worry about what serial number's coming up? No. You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. Bron don't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just whooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce waking up singing all day? She don't go to work. She don't act. She don't do nothing else for her kids. Y'all think she's waking up singing. So y'all think it's legitimate for me to just, I ain't supposed to be in this airport on the escalator. I'm supposed to be running up the steps, huh? Working out, getting up these damn steps, huh? That's crazy. So guess what I'm going to do for y'all? Just for y'all, I'm going to give y'all this one time. Run down these damn steps. Look, I'm running down the escalator. That's what I like. I like this. What y'all want him to do, too. This is what I got to do, too. He a normal civilian running down the escalator. I'm guessing that's what I got to do. The normal civilian, I'm just running running, working out, not eating, not doing just working out all day.
All right, let me say two things about that. So that was Le'Veon Bell ranting about fans who, as soon as he posts something that's like, hey, I'm not up at 5 a.m. working out on social media, I'm doing something else, I'm interested in music, anything else, he hears from fans, hey, get your mind ready for the season, man, what are you doing? He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Athletes, football players, all deserve to have lives away from the field. In fact, they need to have lives away from the field if they're going to be successful. I don't know a successful athlete, Woods, who doesn't at least have a little bit of balance in their life. Right?
I agree. I do. I agree. I will say this. Le'Veon Bell did not play one snap last year. Not one. He sat out. So I don't know that he's the right messenger talking about, man, all y'all want me to do is play football. You didn't play. You didn't play at all last year. You let your team down. I get it. You got to get max value. I totally understand. I'm not mad at you for that at all. Now, your own teammates were really mad at you last year. But you didn't play one single solitary snap. Now, I have been guilty of doing this before, of commenting.
Really?
Yeah, on somebody's Twitter or Instagram. Carlos Asuaje is a perfect example. Yeah, I lit the guy up a couple times. Oh, cool, man. Cool video game. Maybe hit the tee.
Fortnite.
Yeah, you're batting 175. And listen, again, what I think these guys need to realize, too, is, yeah, you absolutely can, should have a life out. I have a life outside of here. I have other interests. I have other passions. I have other hobbies. When I'm at home playing my guitar, you're not texting me saying, hey, why aren't you working on the show? It doesn't work that way. But if you take an offer and you're batting 170 and 5 minutes after a game, you're tweeting, hey, I'm about to go live stream on Twitch. Perception is reality. Perception is that you don't care.
Yeah, I get there's a time and a place. It's not even the season
yet. It's off season. I get it.
It's not even training camp starting yet.
Exactly.
For Le'Veon Bell. If he's already hearing from fans, I'm a little worried about Le'Veon's mental health going forward.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if that snapped him.
If you think it's bad now, wait until you have 14 carries for 41 yards and a fumble and the Jets lose by 20.
Right.
And now you're hearing it from fans after the game. This is nothing compared to what you'd get mid-season when the Jets are 2-6 and you're not living up to that contract that you signed in the offseason. So,
again, man, you can do anything you want to do once. You can do anything you want to do once. It's about learning your lesson. And unless you're, when you're delivering, Ben, if we had a 15 share rating, and you could tell, and our boss would understand, we could be like, hey, don't talk to us. We're good. We got to figure it out. But if we're dying in here, yeah, man, we're going to have to wear it for a little while. And that's just the way that life goes. This is a guy that did not play one single solitary snap last season. And here he is, before training camp, bugging out about people on social media, questioning what he's up to. And they're wrong. They're wrong for doing that. Because it's not, you're not in season.
We're complete, as I said at the beginning, we're completely unreasonable as sports fans.
We are. We are. And we're jealous. We're jealous that he's going to make $13 million a year. We don't, there's something about it we don't want to see. It's almost like we really admire the guys. Like Antonio Brown has been putting out videos of his workouts, and he's catching bricks, and like we're all just sitting there with our mouths agape, like, wow, this guy's really, really focused and ready. Le'Veon Bell's doing other stuff. It's the compare and contrast between the two, and that gives fans a reason or an idea to go and say, hey, bro, maybe you don't worry so much about your shoes.
Right, but I'm sure that Antonio Brown is doing things other than working out.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
And I'm sure that Le'Veon Bell is working out.
Of course.
It's just what they choose to post on social media, you know, tends to be a little bit different. Now, if you care that much about what fans are saying on social media,
don't be on social
media. Then, or have a little more discretion about what you're posting. I would definitely recommend that for Le'Veon Bell. So, Le'Veon Bell ranting. Meanwhile, Odell Beckham Jr., who I mean, Cleveland's supposed to be the, the it team in the NFL
this year.
I would think that OBJ would be looking more forward than backward at this point, but still seems hung up on the Giants. Did an interview with GQ in which he basically trashed the Giants front office, saying they completely disrespected him, you know, other than the owner, who he still had kind words for, John Mara. He said the rest of the front office, GM, coaching staff, disrespected him by trading him to the Cleveland Browns. Said he actually considered retirement in that GQ story. I'm surprised that he's still looking backwards, though, at the Giants. He has such an opportunity here with a team that people are excited about, the chance to really build his own thing, you know, in a new city. I would be totally looking forward, not backwards, if I was Odell Beckham Jr.
I agree with you, man. And again, it's an interview, and he's asked the question. Yeah. If we were asked a question about the place,
he might have been asked 100 other questions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but if somebody sat us down and said, "Hey, tell us about back in at your old building," well, sure. I mean, yeah, we're going to answer that question, and there's nothing to hide from. There's a lot of this with OBJ right now, and again, I think he'll be fine. I do. I think he's going to be okay once kind of the season gets going. But you know, look, it's part of the sports media's job to ask him, and it's his job to answer to. But aren't we also okay with, man, I'm leaving that in the past. I'm onward and upward. I'm looking towards the future. Love playing with Baker. Love playing with these guys. I'm ready to jam.
You already have an outspoken quarterback, Baker Mayfield. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind.
Yep.
Odell Beckham Jr. is the same way. Because we're so unreasonable as fans, this is a problem. If we were all, you know, just like, hey, let's just enjoy the games, I don't think this would be a big deal at all for the Cleveland Browns. But because we can be so difficult as fans, when you have this many, you know, opinionated big personalities in the same clubhouse, in the same locker room, it just tends to lead to problems.
Yeah, it does.
It just does, and that's the way it is.
You know, brand new head coach Freddie Kitchens. I mean, this guy's got his work cut out for him with some of the characters he's got on that team. But hey, I think with guys like OBJ, with guys like Manny Machado, with guys like that, I think you let them be them and don't get in the way too much.
I can't, and I know all of us cannot wait for Hard Knocks with the Raiders.
Yeah.
It's going to be great, but God, I would love round two with the Browns.
Me too.
This year.
I wouldn't have minded one bit if they're like, you know what, we're going to run this back with the Browns.
Yep.
That would have been amazing. So I'm excited, man. They were a fun team to watch last year, and I mean, it's going to be hard to imagine them being the same or worse with some of the guys that they've added. You know, but you never know. You never know what kind of powder keg it can be.
All right, coming up here in the second half of our 6 o'clock hour, some new rumors popping up about the Padres minor leaguers, the ones that could be on the trade block. One name you certainly know, another that might be a little less familiar to you, but the Padres may be shopping on the open market. We'll get to some of those rumors, play a little real or fake. We've got concert tickets to give away, Blink 182, coming to San Diego in a couple of weeks. So your opportunity to win from Ben and Woods coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Going to play a little real or fake coming up here in about 12 minutes on Ben and Woods. Chance to win some tickets to see Blink 182. Listen for your chance to call in at 833-288-0973. Also, get to some of these new Padres rumors in just a second. Keep feeling like waiting for that first shoe to drop before the trade deadline. It's 1 week from tomorrow is now the hard and fast baseball trade deadline. There's no secondary waiver deadline the following month. If you want to improve your team or you want to try to get value for a player right now in the open market, it's got to happen in this next week or you have to wait until the offseason. Yet, so far, we have not really seen any moves
nothing
yet
major.
In July.
Nothing that blows your hair
back. By this
back.
Point last year, Manny Machado had already been dealt from the Orioles to the the Dodgers.
Yeah, he was playing for the Dodgers. Yeah,
they had already kicked off this trade season, but this year so far very quiet. I think it's probably a function of the fact that there are so many teams that think they're still in contention, especially in the wild card race in the National League, that you don't have teams that are ready to say, "Okay, we're definitely sellers." I mean, even the teams that you thought were certainly sellers, like the San Francisco Giants, have suddenly played their way at least into the conversation where, you know, maybe we can't trade Madison Bumgarner at this point. We've got a winning record now. The Giants are 51-50. It's Bruce Bochy's last season. Can we just cut him off at the knees and give up on the year like that and trade away Madison Bumgarner tough decisions that they now have to make in front offices like San Francisco's, like A.J. Preller with the Padres, and no one's ready to pull the trigger on a trade just yet.
It's ridiculous what the Giants have done. And you wonder, can it sustain, you know, with a, what, let's see, they've got 101, they got 61 games left to play. Can they sustain this pace? I mean, it's frenetic, the pace that they're at right now. And what kind of message is that to your fan base? Guys, we really don't care. Like, it's great that the guys are playing well, but we need to improve the ball club. It's a tough sell. Don't you agree? I mean, that's a team with a track record of success, and they're in it. They are in it. There is no doubt they should be buying right now instead of selling.
Emotionally, I agree with you. I think logically, to me, the Giants remind me of 1999 Padres. I don't know, you remember that season?
No.
Coming off 1998, it was very disappointing. The Padres in mid to late June were already, I mean, terrible start to the year. They had lost Kevin Brown, 14 games under 500 early in the season. They were done. And then they went on a 14-game winning streak right before the All-Star break to get back to 500. And you thought, okay, this is a team that still has some of those pieces in place from the National League champions. They're ready to make their second half run. They're ready to get back into it. Never really did. They got three games above 500 at 48 and 45 and then stumbled to the finish. Ended up finishing 14 games under 500, 74 and 88 that season. I think the Giants are going to do the same thing. This is a team that was just not built to contend this year. They really weren't. I mean, until Alex Dickerson, of all people, came along, the Giants were just languishing in last place. And I think they're just on one of those hot stretches that most teams go on at some point in the year. This one's a little bit longer, a little bit more extended, and it's coming at a time of the year where you're getting a lot of attention because it's right before the trade deadline. But I still don't see the Giants as being a legitimate playoff contender in the National League.
I mean, you never know until you try. And again, fans aren't going to buy that. They're just not. Nor, frankly, Ben, should they. A San Francisco Giants fan should not have to swallow that today. As a fan of that team, a fan that buys merchandise, that buys tickets and goes to that game, and supports that team, they should not have to take that from ownership right now. 51 and 50, they are 15 and 3 in July. They're playing lights out baseball. And Madison Bumgarner, by the way, if they trade him, he could say, no, I'm good. I'm going to finish this year. He absolutely could. It's within his rights to say, nope, Tony Gwynn did it. Tony Gwynn did it a bunch. Did it to Cleveland, did it to the Yankees, said, no, I'm good, I'm staying. And I have that right. I've earned that right. Mad Bum could easily do that. That's the other thing that people aren't talking about or thinking about. He could easily say, no, I'm not going to go to Milwaukee. I'm not going to go to New York. I'm not going to go to wherever, Atlanta. I'm good. I'm going to stay here and try to win with my guys.
I wonder if the front office and the manager's office are on the same page in San Francisco
right now. I can promise you they're not, and I would give almost anything to be in those meetings right now, like where Boach walks by with a big old grin, like, look what I've done. Look how I got my boys playing. Don't be what they're going to do, and this is the dumb thing. I heard this driving in this morning. They're probably still going to trade a lot of their bullpen, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, again, you're in this race. Like, you are very much in this race, and the way that they're playing right now, I just don't see how you pull the plug on that.
Bruce Bochy doesn't owe the Giants anything.
Not
at
a thing.
Point. He's won 3 World Series titles with that team. I don't know if he's being pushed out or if it really is his decision, and Bochy's too classy probably to ever really say. I think he kind of saw the writing on the wall, though, when he announced this was going to be his last season. He has every right to, if he wants to go for it, to try everything he can to get to the playoffs one more time. How about, though, Boch? I mean, with 61 games remaining in the season, his career record now stands at 1,977 wins and 1,994 losses.
Wow.
Which means he only needs 23 more wins, go 23 and 38. You'd think even the Giants in a slump could hopefully do that to get to 2,000 wins for his career. Wasn't sure he'd get there at the beginning of the year because this wasn't necessarily a 74-win team. You could have easily seen this team, you know, winning 68 games this year, and Boach ended up a little bit short. Now at 51-50, very good chance Bruce Bochy joins that elite 2000 win club as a Major League Baseball manager.
Tell me again how momentum doesn't matter in baseball. Tell me again. Let's hear it from the rafters, how momentum doesn't matter. Those guys go to the ballpark every single day knowing they can win a baseball game.
It doesn't, but it doesn't really. I mean, easily the Giants could get a bad starting pitching effort today,
yeah,
lose 10-1, and to go on a six-game losing streak.
Sure.
It could easily happen.
Which is also momentum.
But what you see as momentum, I simply see as a number of guys playing well at the same time.
Yeah, it's all clicking.
They have a number of guys playing well right now.
All the buttons that are being pushed are the right buttons.
So you end up winning games. It looks like momentum. I think it's more of the fact that individually you just have a nice little confluence of good play at the same time.
But I think there is something to be said about guys showing up at the ballpark knowing they can win, believing in each other, and knowing, hey, this is what we've been doing. As somebody that's played my whole life, I fully believe that when you're hot, you're hot, you know, and those guys show up knowing they can win a ballgame. The other interesting team, Benny, in the NL West is the Diamondbacks. Their GM, Mike Hazen, says the belief that a 500 team is going to win the World Series, get through the wild card format that we have and win the World Series is, I don't think objectively that's a position we should be staking ourselves to. So Diamondbacks are basically saying, I don't care how well you guys play right now. This is what we're going to do. I don't know that I can support that either.
He's right. How many times in baseball history has a 500 wild card team gone on to win the World Series? I can think of once where the St. Louis Cardinals at like 83 and 79 or whatever it was won the wild card and got hot at the right time and went on and won the World Series. But generally, that's not a very good path to getting there. You want to go the Dodgers path. You want win your division, skip the wild card round, you know, be healthy, get your rotation set up, have a plan for October, not just flying by the seat of your pants at the end of the season to sneak into the playoffs. That's a better way to do it. Is it impossible? No, it's been done. It can be done. Do you want to stake your future? Do you want to trade away potential valuable pieces the next couple of years to put everything in a run like that? I tend to agree with Mike Hazen, the general manager of the Diamondbacks, that's just not a smart baseball strategy.
It's a hard pill for the fan to swallow, Ben. It's the guy that bought season tickets, watching his team very much in it, very much in the race. And that is, hey, look, we all love the second wild card. It's probably a GM's nightmare. It really is probably the nightmare of A.J. Preller, the nightmare of Mike Hazen, the nightmare of Farhan Zaidi. These guys right now are in hell because of that second wild card.
I mean, it's so unpredictable. Staying in the NL West for a hot minute, at least yesterday, J.P. Morosi, I think it was, reported that the Rockies were listening to offers on Charlie Blackmon. Now, a deal was not expected.
John Gray is another name that's been thrown out from them. And that's a team that just re-upped Arenado to a fortune.
And has been a playoff team,
yeah,
wild card, last couple of years.
I mean, again, it's guys, we're talking about...
Now, granted, they have the same record as the Padres right now.
Right, right. But we're talking about your team's ability and desire and want to be competitive. I understand A.J. Preller. And these guys have to look down the road 5 years. That's a hard sell to fans. It really, unless you're an Orioles fan or a Marlins fan, you're like, dude, if we have chips, sell them.
Let me throw out the phone numbers. We're going to play some real or fake. You give away these Blink 182 tickets in about 2 minutes. So if you want to play our game, start dialing now. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. We need two contestants to go head-to-head, a chance to win those concert tickets. Blink 182 coming to town later this month. I'll finish, though, with the Padres rumors that I mentioned. So CBS Sports came out with their list of prospects who were most likely to get traded before the deadline. One didn't surprise me at all. Luis Urias, his name was on that list.
Yep.
I've been practicing that yesterday.
Urias.
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 Urias. Yeah, because I can't roll the R. I still can't roll the R. He was number 9 on the list. We've kind of been speculating for a month or two that could be a name that A.J. Preller is certainly listening on, when it comes to the trade deadline. The other one that surprised me, though, that was like number 2 or 3 on that CBS Sports list was a single A pitcher named Joey Cantillo. And we do interviews on the Padres minor leagues like every other week, and I feel like I'm pretty up to date. I was going, wait, who? Joey Cantillo? Do you know who Joey Cantillo is?
I thought it was a misspelling of Castillo.
I thought they had the wrong team.
I did too.
Oh, no, it's not the Padres. He actually is the 28th ranked prospect of the Padres and is having a really good season at Fort Wayne right now. And for whatever reason, this CBS Sports article thinks that it's someone that A.J. Preller is willing to give up. Probably because, well, fans wouldn't exactly riot if they traded Joey Cantillo because none of us have any idea who he is.
Right.
But, yeah, guy who's getting some attention. That's how deep the Padres farm system is right now, that there are pieces that are attracting attention around baseball that even Padres fans have no idea who they are. Yep. Oh, yeah, Joey Cantillo. A lot of GMs want this guy. Like, what? He's a Padres prospect?
It's all I saw on Twitter last night. Oh, man, the whole Mets friggin' front office is out here watching this guy or this guy. And, yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't know why you would move Luis Urias. I think he's a guy that you look at, and that's going to be your middle infield. But, shoot, man, for an ace or something like that, a controllable guy, I don't know. I mean, I'm open to any and all. And again, I still stand by that. I don't know that the Padres are going to do a damn thing at the deadline. I really don't. I can see them not doing anything, and I can see them moving Yates, and that's it.
Well, it takes two to tango.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of dance partners right now because no one knows what they're doing, and they've got to decide fast because we are now just over a week away from baseball's trade deadline. So we'll keep you updated on the latest rumors. Anything that happens, of course, keep it tuned here to 97.3 The Fan. But right now, let's play our game. Let's get to a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right, once again, we got a pair of tickets to see Blink 182, Spoon, and Lil Wayne at North Island Credit Union Amphitheater on Wednesday, August 7th.
Not Spoon.
I thought you said Spoon.
Spoon was with Cage the Elephant.
Oh. So just Blink 182.
Blink and Lil Wayne, right?
That's a good show, though, right?
Read your copy, Ben.
Come on, Ben.
Well, I thought that's who we were adding in. I guess I was trying to be too...
Trying to be too alternative.
Too alternative.
Just stick to sports, all right?
That's fair enough.
Do what you do best.
So we got two contestants who go head-to-head. We'll play five rounds of real or fake. We'll try to divide the real from the fake. Whoever has more points at the end of five rounds will win. We got Chief at North Island and JD in El Cajon are our contestants today. So, guys, here's what I've got for you on Real or Fake. Forbes magazine, which is really more of a grab bag website than a magazine nowadays, but just bear with me, came out with their annual list of the 10 most valuable sports franchises in the world yesterday. I'm not exactly how they do it, but we don't really need to know that for today's game of Real or Fake. You simply have to tell me if the team I give you is a real member of that Forbes top 10 or a fake I have thrown in there that doesn't belong among the most valuable teams in the world.
That should be easy, right?
They're all real teams, but some are top 10 value, some are not. So, Chief, North Island, welcome to our game. You understand what we're looking for, Chief?
Oh, yeah. Good morning, guys.
All right, good morning. Good luck. All right, round number one, real or fake top 10 valuable franchise. Let's go with the Golden State Warriors. Top 10 value, real or fake?
I'll go real.
Real, yeah, they're number 9 on the list. So, Chief, 1-0. Hang on, let's bring on your opponent, JD in El Cajon. Good morning, JD.
Morning.
All right, you've heard how the game works, playing for the concert tickets. Let's try real or fake, top 10. Juventus FC of the Italian League, real or fake?
I'm going to go with fake.
Fake, yes. They are not in the top 10. 1-1. We go to round number 2. Good job, guys. Chief, real or fake, the Boston Red Sox, real or fake, top 10 value?
Real.
No, not in the top 10.
Poverty.
That's okay. You're not out of the game,
Chief.
Poverty franchise. Hang on, JD. You got a chance to take the lead. Try this one. Real or fake, let's go with the Green Bay Packers, real or fake, top 10.
Fake.
Very good. JD, point for you. Publicly owned Packers are not a top 10 in the world. All right, Chief, let's get back to you. Round number three, FC Barcelona. Real or fake? Top 10 value, Chief.
I'll go real on this one.
Yes, they're number four on the Forbes list. So Chief ties it up 2-2. Still in round three, we go back to JD. JD, how about this one? The New York Giants football team, real or fake? Top 10, JD.
Let's go real.
Real. They are tied for 10th. Just snuck in alongside the LA Dodgers, by the way, top 10. So, JD, you're
up 3-2. You just gave one away, didn't you?
I did, but they're not on my list.
Oh, so all right.
Just giving you some extra info. All right, Chief, you're down 3-2, so this is pretty important here in round four. Let's try this one. Real or fake, Chief? The Los Angeles Lakers, top 10, real or fake?
Real.
Real, yeah, number 8 on the list. So 3-3. Go back to JD. He is perfect so far. JD, let's see if you can keep it going. Real or fake? We'll give you another soccer team here. Bayern Munich of the German Bundesliga. Real or fake, JD?
Fake.
Fake. Very good. JD is hot. All right, 4-3. So, Chief, you need to get this one right to keep the game going. Round 5, real or fake? Chief, your team is the Yomiuri Giants. Ooh. Real or fake?
Feeling the pressure, guys. I'm going to go fake.
Fake, yes.
Oh, my God.
Not in the top 10 from the Japanese Baseball League. So we are tied 4-4. Chief, hang on. You may need a tiebreaker. JD, though, you can win it outright and sweep the category by getting this one correct. Real or fake for the concert tickets, the Boston Celtics, a top 10 value franchise, real or fake, JD?
Let's go fake.
Fake!
Oh,
and
my
JD.
God, it's a walk-off.
5-5. Congratulations to JD and El Cajon.
Dominance. Dominance.
Who wins today. Great game, Chief. You played well. Hard to beat when a guy goes perfect 5-5. So you are headed to the concert to see Blink-182 and Lil Wayne on August 7th at North Island Credit Union Amphitheater. Thanks for playing Real or Fake on our SDCCU hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply today at sdccu.com.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, got a little chance to do some list radio there. I know you're happy about it.
I did.
Yeah.
I snuck it in there in game form.
Instead of just going, all right, number 10, the Yomiuri Giants.
You
know number 9.
You know me so well.
The San Francisco Giants. Number 8. I didn't listen to any of those, but probably all out of order.
No, you got most of them.
All right. That's fine.
There's a lot of valuable franchises.
Yeah, it's good money if you can swing it.
Did you notice who was not on the list? Neither of the Los Angeles professional football franchises.
Right. Right.
The top 10.
Yeah, give them some time, I guess, right?
Even though they both moved to Los Angeles to increase their value.
Correct.
One was in a Super Bowl.
Doesn't seem to be working.
Fair point.
That
yeah,
well.
One was in a Super Bowl.
We got some Don't Do This coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. The Incorporator with Jesse Agler returns. It is all coming up. You do not want to miss it. Ben and Woods on a Tuesday morning continues right here on 97.3 The Fan. Do not go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.